screaming harshly, panting his life away, he crashed and whinnied in the dust. The spirit left him with a wing beat. The team shied and strained apart with a great creak of the yoke as reins were tangled over the dead weight of their outrider fallen. Automedon, the good soldier, found a way to end it. Pulling his long blade from his hip, he jumped in fast and cut the trace horse free. The team then ranged themselves beside the pole, drawing the reins taut, and once more, devoured by fighting madness, the two men clashed. Sarpedon missed again. He drove his spearhead over the left shoulder of Patroclus, not even grazing him. Patroclus then made his last throw, and the weapon left his hand with flawless aim. He hit his enemy just where the muscles of the diaphragm encased his throbbing heart. Sarpedon fell the way an oak or poplar or tall pine goes down, when shipwrights in the wooded hills with whetted axes chop it down for timber. So, full length, before his war car lay Sarpedon, raging, clutching the bloody dust. Imagine a great-hearted, sultry bull a lion kills amid a shambling herd. With choking groans he dies under the claws. So, mortally wounded by Patroclus, the chief of Lycian shieldsmen lay in agony, and called his friend by name. "Glaucus, old man, old war dog, now's the time to be a spearman. Put your heart in combat. Let grim war be all your longing. Quickly, if you can, arouse the Lycian captains, round them up to fight over Sarpedon. You, too, fight to keep my body, else in later days this day will be your shame. You'll hang your head all your life long if these Achaeans take my armor here, where I have gone down fighting before the ships. Hold hard. Cheer on the troops." The end of life came on him as he spoke, closing his eyes and nostrils. And Patroclus, with one foot on his chest, drew from his belly spearhead and spear. The diaphragm came out. So he extracted life and blade together. Myrmidons clung to the panting Lycian horses, rearing to turn the car left by their lords.